You should be happy to saddle up a horse and blaze a trail. If you think about it, our ancestors before us, they blazed the trail for us, yes? So what are you doing in your life today to blaze the trail for the person standing behind you? Just asking. You gotta be that mindful of what I do right now is going to affect the person behind me. What I do, what I say, how I react, the way I walk, the way I talk, the things I do affects the people behind me. Always in everything we do. I want to tell you something funny before I jump off into the lesson. In this lesson, you're going to hear me say that you can change your way of thinking, but you can't change a heart. My husband took the song Less Like Jesus, and now every time I hear that song, I think about my cats. You want to know why? Because my cat's name is Mercy and Grace. So when we were trying to sing the song, he turned around to the praise team and he says, "Oh, it's the cat song." And I said, "What?" He says, "It's the cat song. It's singing about mercy and grace." It changed my way of thinking. So now every time I hear that song, I think about my cats. So I need to rearrange my thinking and think about God. A little less like me, yes? Okay. Do not encourage him. Okay? All right. I want to talk to you for a second about throwing things away, and then I want to explain what took place here earlier. When we come into the house of God, we should generally, as a tradition, as a whatever you want to call it, I call it tradition for a lack of words, when you walk through the house, through the doors of the house of God, you should throw off everything that you brought here with you. Because I'm going to show you what happened. Okay. This praise team practices these songs endlessly. I'm not easy to get along with. Ask them. I will make them practice until they hate the song. And then practice some more. Absolutely. Okay. Having said that about the praise team and their practice and their songs, they practice before you get here. I know that they know every word to that song, or I don't let them sing it. Instead of throwing off the spirit of distraction, it walked through the front door. It came in and it took a seat and it started to manifest from here to here to here to here. You understand what I'm saying? What we need to learn to do is when we proceed into the house of God, you should give God reverence. You should be that one person to throw it off, because all it takes is one person, one spirit to walk into the house of God and wreak havoc through the whole message. For what it's worth, make a practice of leaving everything outside, distractions, give God reverence for an hour. He gave you his life. Give him reverence for an hour. He gave you his life. So having said that, we're gonna pick up with Seasons of the Soul, A Time to Throw Away. And that reminds me of my little grandson. Because when he's out there, he's a pitcher. And he gets that ball and he says to me, "Nana, you going to play ball with me?" I said, "No, sir, I'm not going to play ball with you because I can't catch your ball." He says, "Well, why can't you catch my ball?" I said, "Because you throw it too hard. I'm not going to stick my hand out there and catch no flying ball. I'm not made for that." He gets there and he takes that little ball and he stands there and he pulls it back and he gets revved up and then he lets it roll. That's what we need to do with things in our lives. We need to throw it, not toss it. Okay, we're going to recap, and God is so good, because if you listen to what I'm fixing to recap, you will see a fruition of what took place in here when the service started. Recap, Satan doesn't go after what he wants. He goes after what gets him what he wants. Satan doesn't change his tactics. He changes his people. So what does that mean? That means that today I walk into the house of God. I am the disruption. I cause the first initial disruption that ripples through the house of God and wrecks the service. Next week, it might be you. Satan does not change his tactics. He changes his people. So when that person comes, know who you're talking to. Know who's talking to you. Until he has perfected his work in you and on you. Remember, Satan does what Satan does because it works. Satan will continue to use it for as long as you allow it to work. You, my friend, know when you are being a distraction. You can't help but know. You know how I know? You're the only one moving. You're the only one moving. Your mouth, whatever the distraction is, you're the only one doing it. If it wasn't a distraction, everybody in the house would be praising God. Everybody would be doing the same thing you're doing. Again, if you want Satan to leave you alone, stop biting at his bait. Here's a plot twist for you. Are you even remotely aware that you do the exact same thing? You do the same thing Satan does. Have you thought about that? You use the same old, let's say, bait and switch on the same old people as long as it keeps getting you the same good results. Sally over here won't watch my kid, but if I cry to her, she will. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to talk about this party over here. And I know that Josie, she got an ear out here. I mean, she got a, what's it called, a megaphone? She listening, she's straining, but she listening. But I know she's listening. And I know she's going to pick up and run and do exactly what I want her to do. So every time there's a party, I'm going to go where Josie is. Because I know Josie going to be the newspaper. We do the same thing Satan does. We do what we do because we know it works. People walk in and they do what they do because they know it works. So what makes you different than Satan? You have an opportunity to ask for forgiveness and not do it again. He can't help himself. It's his character. Do you really think that keeping generosity and offenses and past hurts alive will help you achieve not doing them again? If you leave the smallest cracked door, Satan will come in. You do the smallest thing that invites him in, even if it's a whisper under your breath, I don't like her. Guess who's getting in bed with you tonight? How long is it going to hurt is a sermon that Bishop taught, and the answer to that question was as long as you keep touching it. How long will Satan continue doing what he does as long as you allow him to? So let's pick it all up and throw it away. Remember, throwing is not tossing. Remember that. Throwing is not tossing. How long are you going to stay in this state? Religiosity, past hurts, offenses, failures, as long as you keep meditating and housing them in your heart. Notice I didn't say mind. I said your heart. As long as you hold that offense or that past failure or that hurt, every single time something happens that brings that back to your mind, you're going to run right back over there. You're going to pick it right back up, and you're going to be mad at the same person for the same thing that you said you forgave them for. Did you forgive them? No. Because if you did, it shouldn't matter to you. The reason I said heart, remember I said the heart don't change. The heart knows what the heart knows. However, the brain can be retrained. The brain can be trained to forget anything. It's the heart that holds everything. 9 out of every 10 issues comes from a heart issue. It comes from somebody's offense. Somebody offended somebody. I don't like the way you treated that. I don't like the way you said that. You come in dressed like that. You walked by me and didn't say anything. You called so-and-so. Tamara got a new bestie. Okay? But as long as I hold that here, I'm never going to get rid of it. You truly want to forgive somebody, you take it to God and ask him to clean your heart. David said, clean my heart. Give me a clean heart. You know what he asked to clean the heart with? Hyssop. Hyssop, it's like a branch. Clean my heart. Rake all of the junk out of it and let me start again. If you tell me you forgive me and you bring it back up in my face, why you bother wasting your breath? This is why we're to guard our hearts, because our heart is what keeps everything in. Our brain can be retrained. Just like I said about the song. Now I think about that song every time I see Mercy and Grace. I think about my cats. Proverbs 4:23 and 27 of the Message says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Your heart is the connection to God. Because we're supposed to have a heart like God. Is that right? We're supposed to be the mirror image of God. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they're all supposed to flow out of you, from within you. Where are they at? I think I lost them. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, gossip, and God forbid, forget Facebook. Like Bishop says, you talk like this or like this. I can tell you that I got caught up in a scenario. I didn't say one word, but I thought to myself, I wonder what they think they're doing to each other. And I wonder when all of this is swept under the rug and everybody says, I'm sorry, will they mean it? When it arises again, will they mean it? Because you can talk a good talk. It's your actions show the intent of your heart. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all the sideshow distractions. We don't do that. A distraction comes in, what's the first thing we do? Or we get on board. Let somebody start talking, and I guarantee you, before it's over with, you'll have 4 people carrying on a conversation. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust. May God go before you and make the road smooth. May his joy be your strength and his peace fill your heart. What God is saying is he can take all those rough patches, all those things that we hold hurting, all those past failures, all that time that we're causing havoc in someone else's life. Remember, the people behind you is who you're supposed to be blazing the trail for. The people in front of you should have already blazed the trail. And you're supposed to bring as many with you as you can. Are we? Or are we just waiting for the next cutthroat? Are we waiting for the next issue? Are we waiting for the next time that they fail you? Are you waiting for the next time that you can jump on the bandwagon and say, I told you you would do it again? What happened to throwing it away? Actions are the intent of the heart, not the head. Your actions come from your heart. Your actions tell me exactly how you feel. Proverbs 23:7 says, For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So what is that saying? Whatever I think I am, I am. You can think of yourself as anything you want. You can think of yourself as coming into the house of God and giving him reverence and come in and have a splendid, wonderful time. Absolutely amazing worship. Or you can think of yourself as coming in the house of God and being ticked off at everybody and cause everything to go awry. Because it takes one spirit. It takes one spirit to cause confusion in the house of God. One spirit. Doesn't matter what spirit or what its name is. One spirit can cause havoc in the house of God. Inquiring minds need to know. Don't you like my little guy over there in the corner? Ain't he cute? I thought he was cute. Why must we close the door after we throw away all the things that keep us in bondage? I asked God that. I did. Why can't we keep it cracked to remind us of how we got hurt so it reminds us not to do it again? God actually laughed at me. You want to know what he said? You'll be too busy focusing on yesterday to appreciate and accept new promises I have for you today. Instead of focusing on what I took away from you, turn your focus onto what I'm giving you. Understand what I took from you may have harmed you. What I'm giving you will equip you for my service and my kingdom. That's what God said to me. God simply said, shut up, sit down, stay focused, and watch what I do for you. But instead, again, we won't throw away the things that bother us. Instead, we want to hold on to them. It's like putting them all in a suitcase and toting the suitcase behind us, yelling, we're forgiven and free. Yeah, you're forgiven and free. I see that 50-pound suitcase back there. But you're forgiven and free. Until you want to set it down, unzip it, and start plundering. You know, memories are a bad thing. They really are. Why? Because they allow you to meditate on the things that are not good for you. 90% of people meditate more on hurts than they do the joys of their life. Psychiatrists say if they can get you to focus on the happy parts of your marriage, you'll succeed. You know why divorce ends so quickly? Or why so many marriages end divorce? Because they're too busy focusing on what went wrong instead of what can I do to fix it. Oh, by the way, that was scripture, that revelation that God gave me was fruition to God sees down the road and around the corner. Lamentations 3:22 through 23 in the English Standard Version says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Do you understand he loves you always? He never stops loving you. When you upset someone, they will stop loving you. Ask me, I know. They will stop loving you in a heartbeat. They'll throw you away. They'll cuss you out. They'll walk all over you. They'll smear your name all over everywhere. Every Facebook, every social media. You might as well just go curl up somewhere and disappear. That's not God. God says love you through your mess. His mercy's new. They're new every morning. They never come to an end. Great is his faithfulness. Do you understand what that scripture is? That scripture is a perpetual blessing. His mercies and love is new every morning. That means I wish I was married to somebody who would give me a perpetual blessing like that and give me mercy every morning. Listen, I can step on that man's last nerve, I promise you. I wouldn't give me grace every morning. But isn't it nice to wake up and know that you get a clean slate with God every morning? His mercies are new every morning, and all you have to do is throw the junk away. Fresh manna, God's mercy prevails over his wrath. Because of Jesus, God is more inclined to be compassionate and forgiving than to be angry or vengeful, even when faced with actions and circumstances that could and should provoke his wrath toward you. God says, I love you. He means it. We say, I love you, but we got a condition. God says, I do. You're my bride. You're the church. I love you. We say, I do. But homie, mess with me one time, out the door you go. Oh, it's hard to get married, but it's easy to walk away and get a divorce. For a woman, they got to have this, 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 and this. A divorce, sign the dotted line. Man, they got it jacked. You should sign the dotted line when you get married, and then when you go to get a divorce, you got to do this, 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 and this. Even God goes through a season of throwing. God throws out your past when you present yourself in full surrender. Did you hear what I said? God throws out everything that you ever did. Everything that you ever did, and you walk around with a clean slate. I'm not talking about mercy. I'm talking about a clean slate. You've been born again. You get to start over every time you give full surrender. Because God is relentless. He wants you. Every time you can fail 100 times and surrender fully 100 times, and he loves you just like he loved you the first time. You have to repent, seeking him and aligning your life with his will and his plans for you. This season, throwing away, is beneficial for spiritual growth and well-being. Anyone who has plants understands that growth does not come without pruning. I will tell you, I have had a bonsai. She was this tall until they cut my trees. Now she's this tall because they broke her in the middle, and now she's toppled over. I have not pruned this little tree because the middle part of her died. And there was one tap root that went up and around the lace to the top. And God said to me, and the only reason I didn't discard her or throw her away was God said to me, don't call dead what I've given life. And I went, whoop. Do you know I stopped pruning her? Now she looks like a hot mess. You can't even tell she was a bonsai. God wants to prune you. You better walk in his will and let him prune you, because if you don't and he has to prune you against your will, you're not going to be happy. I should have brought a big pair of pruning shears. Pruning is not an option where God is concerned. Do you understand that? God is going to prune you whether you want it or not. Just throw it away. Just get rid of it. If you want to grow spiritually, then you will need to be pruned of your old habits, aka all the junk you're holding inside. That means God created me a new heart, a clean heart. God washed my heart. Because with the washing of the heart comes the washing of the mind. The heart tells the mind what to do. Think about it. Let somebody break up with you. The heart will convince your mind that you need to get even. Romans 12:2, and the voice says, do not allow this world to mold you in its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. As a result, you will be able to discern what God wills and whatever God finds good and pleasing and complete. The washing of the water of the word, people like to discard that in the Bible. That's a very important part of the Bible. You need that word to wash away all that junk. You need that word. You need a consistent diet of the word of God to wash away all the junk that you need to be throwing away. Because I'm going to tell you what, not everybody who stands on a stage and professes God is a Christian. You hear me? Not everybody who has a mega church is going to see you in heaven. Renewing the mind is actively changing the way one thinks, moving away from the worldly perspectives to embracing God's perspectives and his thoughts about your life. You know, it's really hard to comprehend the way God thinks because God is so much better than us. We are not his equal. We are not better than him. God's way of thinking is much different than ours. His perspective is here. Our perspective is here. He uses love and adoration. We use manipulation. Did you hear that? He uses love and adoration. We use manipulation. This requires throwing out all the negativity and replacing it with positivity that glorifies God, aka get your own house in order. Don't worry about what my house looks like until your house is in order. And when your house is in order, then you can advise me. Can I tell you that applies to here too? Until this house is in order, it's not going to grow. Think about that. Y'all should be praying for this house every day. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. It is here in the midst of the transformation you will find your thoughts are not as savvy as they once were. When God really starts working on you and you really start to transform, you're going to find out that thinking about the envy and thinking about hurting people and plotting out how to get even with people just ain't so savvy anymore. Once God starts working on you and you allow him to change you from the inside out, you're going to find out that going to the parties and all of the things that you go to or all the things that you do that take precedence over God aren't as savvy anymore. They're not as fun. You just don't want to do them. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11 in the Message says, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work, God's decree. God doesn't think like us. For as the sky soars high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as the rain and the snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they're watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for the farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I give them. Do you understand that scripture? God said that what I speak does not come back void. In other words, what I speak, what I've spoken into your life, what I've spoken over this church, what I have declared in the heavens is going to come to pass because my word does not come back empty. And if you're made in the image of God and you are a true Christian and you have God living in your life, your words aren't going to come back empty either. Now think about what I said. your words aren't going to come back empty either, whether they're good words or whether they're bad words, whether they're a blessing to somebody or whether they're a cursing to somebody. They're not going to come back empty-handed. Understand that? Because now, not only do you need to throw away your stinking thinking, you need to throw away your filthy mouth. And while you blessing them with one side of your mouth, you're cursing them with another. I think they have a phrase that goes something like, you kiss your mother with that mouth? Seeking this kind of growth will purify and reshape one's mind, leading to a more Christ-like way of living or thinking and living. Get into the mindset of throwing. It's with a force and very intentional. When you want to throw something away, it's very intentional. Then why don't we do it? Oh, we can think about it all day long. I mean, shoot, I get up in the mornings and think about how well I'm going to clean my house, and by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm still thinking about how well I'm going to clean my house. It's just the way it works. Gets cleaned. Here's a timeout. Understand, we like to say we throw things out, but what we really do is just cast them aside, just out of our reach. So when we get jaded, we walk right back over there, and we pick it up, and we stick it in our little pocket, and we go on down the road, and a year later, Josie comes back, and Josie's offended you, and if you're like me, you jerk it out, and you start back at day one. And you read her everything she ever did wrong. Ask him. He'll tell you. Oh, we can talk a big talk. Say we've thrown it out until the old familiar shows up. Instead of making your feelings subject to the new you, by the way, when you become a Christian, you are a new you. You are a new creature. A new you. And in that new you has the right to make that old you become subjective to him, her. So why don't we make the bad things subjective to God that's in us instead of partying with the wrong people? You reach out, pick it up again, and this time it's harder to let go of. Undeniable results are, now this is what happens in your life when you're doing the wrong thing, when you're not throwing away those things that cause you problems, and God is trying to tell you, get rid of them. No, God is going to start pruning you, and it's going to start here. Your life is dragging, aka lacking in all things. Your health is not so good. You're falling apart physically. Oh, my knee hurts. Oh, my back hurts. Oh, my head hurts. I got some amens out there. Yeah. Okay. And you're pulling away from family. Now, notice that last one. You're pulling away from family. Church functions have become a thing of the past. When we first opened the youth center, everybody came. Now just a few come. It's optional. But is it optional? No. God clearly says, do not forsake the assembling of the saints. Clearly says. He didn't say, oh, if you don't feel well, you don't have to go. If you stubbed your toe, you can stay home. He said clearly, do not forsake. That means do not let go of, do not give way, do not forsake the assembling of the saints. Throw away all of that holds you back. I have a blessing waiting here for you that you didn't receive. When we get to heaven, hear me. When we get to heaven and see all the blessings we missed because we didn't stop here, When we get to heaven and we see all the things God had lined out for us and how our life was so much better, but because we wanted to be over here because Josie jacked us sideways and we're not going anywhere, we're not going to that church anymore, I don't want anything to do with those people, they're all just a hot mess over there. When you stand before God and he shows you the blessing you walked away from, I hope he's got tissue boxes in heaven, because I know I've lost a lot of blessings. But I tell you, from here on out, every one of them I get, I'm going to have. Eyes open, this is a fruition due to the unnecessary baggage that you choose to carry. Ain't nobody sitting in your heart telling you, take note, remember this, remember that day, they did this, they did that. Ain't nobody sitting in that heart but God, and he's going, throw it out, throw it out, throw it out. When you get up to the gate and St. Peter goes to open the gate, first thing he's going to say to you is, throw it out, if he opens it. Satan will be down there going, bring it, bring it. What? Catch! Hurry! Y'all laugh. I so want God to just let me look into hell one time. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do, because you know why? I know I won't want to go there. Oh, how easy is it to forget our new spiritual growth in this season? Until something devastates you. When something devastates you, my friend, you'll be on your knees and you will cry out for God. Even an atheist in a car accident goes, oh God! Somebody who clearly doesn't believe in God, when their loved one's dying on a table, will call out to God. But they don't believe. Throw away the stinking thinking. Let it all go. I'm going to stop there because we're out of time. We'll pick it up next Wednesday, I guess. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word. We thank you for teaching us, God. You can have fun in church, and you can learn the word of God. And, Lord, we're grateful for everything that you do for this house. We're grateful for the people that you send here. We ask you, Lord, to bless them, keep them safe, bring them back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.